All right. If you have your Bible, if you'd open it to the little book of Jude, only has 25 verses. Just turn the book of Revelation back up one page, and there you are. Save you a lot of looking. Jude, verse 23. Jude 23 says, "And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty, power, wisdom to preach. I pray that you would open hearts and minds and understanding. Help us to lift up, exalt, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it in His precious name. Amen. Now, I want to bring a little message this morning entitled, "They're Everywhere." There used to be a movie or a TV series, I can't remember now, and these aliens had come into our system and mutated. They looked just like us. But of course, you know, they were evil and wicked, and they were plotting to take over. It was a very subversive thing, but they had mingled among us, and almost nobody knew it except, you know, them one or two people that always know everything. But you could identify the aliens because they had this little quirk thing with their little finger or something. I forget now, it didn't work, or it stuck out funny, or they had an extra one, I can't remember. But there was this identifying characteristic, so that if you really were looking, if you knew what was going on, you could spot them. And of course, once you were clued in, of course, then you got to looking at everybody's hands, and you just waiting for them to take their hands out of their pocket, see how many little fingers they had. And the conclusion was that they were everywhere. Man, we had been infiltrated, and no matter where you went, no matter what you did, every time you turned around, you was looking, and here's some guy paying for a Mountain Dew and a pack of Reese's Cups, and when he takes his $2 and hands it to the counter, he's got an extra little finger. And, oh, there's another one, and there's another one. They're everywhere. Right? People get paranoid about that kind of stuff. Now, in our day and age, the world's full of nutcases. And they're everywhere. I saw this cartoon one time, and this guy was having a conflict with some kind of creature, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. And he stands back and he's going, "They're everywhere, they're everywhere." That's the way you feel. I got to think about nutcases, wackos, fruitcakes, Fruit Loops, nut jobs. Y'all with me? Some of y'all just sitting there looking like, have you noticed that they're everywhere? You hear people all the time these days saying, "Man, people are crazy these days. The world's gone nuts. People have lost their mind." And every time you turn around, you see some group advocating something that's just insane. And you think, where do these wackos, where do these nut jobs come from? You can't quite figure it out. But the conclusion, the bottom line is, they're everywhere. Every time you turn around, there's some fruitcake preacher. I mean, and of course, they make a big deal out of that. You know, if you get a whack job preacher, the whole wide world, all the media latch on to him, and he becomes the whipping boy and the poster boy all at the same time. If he's a real certified fruitcake, then the mainstream media wants you to think that's what all of Christianity's like. See? But no matter where you go these days, we've got fruitcakes in the legal system. We got nut jobs in the financial system. We got nut jobs in office, public, all. Everywhere you go, there's some nut job. I'm here to tell you, honest before God, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Lester Roloff used to say, "America is an insane asylum run by the inmates." Well, when he said that, I thought it was somewhat of an overstatement. 30 years later, I'm in perfect agreement. America is an insane, I'm run by the inmates. Everything in America is a special interest group. If you've ever noticed, people are not really interested in the overall good of America. They're interested in the success of their particular agenda. And in order to get that, you know, if you're for saving the baby whales, the rest of America can go to hell in a handbasket as long as we save the whales. If you're a greenie, you know, everything's green these days. That's just the buzzword. And they're nuts. You know, the greenies will stop the four-lane highway going through Arizona that was a couple of billion-dollar project, and that would have been able enabled transportation and 18-wheelers to deliver produce and all this, that, and the other at a great savings. This highway was necessary, but in the process of building it, they ran across a salamander. And it's a really rare salamander, and this may be the very last one. And because of that, they stopped the highway and got to go back to the drawing board, and they're going to have to build a road around this little underground stream so we can preserve this salamander. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you it is a good thing I was not on that job. Because when I saw that salamander and he had a note on his back said rare species endangered and nobody was looking, I would have taken care of the salamander. And we'd have built our road. And we would have put people first. So what do you think? I think the people that did that are nuts. I think they're whack jobs. Amen? Now, if you're a real, honest-to-goodness, dyed-in-the-wool, stand before God and swear it's true, evolutionist, evolution is only survival of the fittest, right? Well, if that salamander can't outrun that bulldozer, tough apple salamander. Amen. That's what any real evolutionist would have said. Well, I'm just trying to illustrate that the world is full of fruitcakes. They're everywhere. The whole world is just about half insane anymore. You listen to people talk and their ideas, you think, what planet are they from? Where did these nutcases come from? What's bad is the nutcases take themselves serious. they don't know they're nuts. You know, they say them that don't know that they don't know. Hello? Now, I said all that to say this. I want to talk to you about nut people this morning. I mean, insane people. People that are whacked. And there are more whack jobs than you might think. And they're whacked in ways that you might not think. Not every fruitcake runs around looking and acting like a fruitcake. Some of them are college professors. You go to the average liberal, you know, go out to Berkeley in California, places like that, you know, Harvard, MIT, those Ivy League schools, and talk to some of them professors, son. I'm here to tell you, they're insane. Some of the stuff they advocate, some of the stuff they're teaching, is some of it's subversive, but most of it's just plain nuts. But they got on a coat and tie, and they got tenure, and they're going to be there teaching our kids for the next 25 or 30 years, and they're just insane. They're just nutty as a fruitcake. That you could get them certified. You ought to be able to get them locked up. If they had to have a mental health evaluation, they would put them away. Now, when you look at them, they look okay, but they're nuts. I'll read you a little story. Tell you a little story, and I want to use it as an illustration to show you how many nut jobs there are and where they're hiding. And you're going to be surprised who some of them are. In January the 27th, 1903... in London, England, a fire broke out in a large London lunatic asylum. There were approximately 300 inmates in the nut house, like Bull Street down here in Columbia. It was an insane asylum. It was the lunatic bin. And in the fire broke out in the middle of the night. All the buildings were wood, and so the fire began to spread rapidly. The fire department was called, the staff got everybody up, and they were trying to get all of the residents of the insane asylum out, to get them out of bed, get them out of the building, and get them outside the compound, because it was obvious the whole thing was going up in smoke. The fire department was there, and they're trying to rescue people, and the staff is there, and they're trying to rescue people. And you can imagine, 3 o'clock in the morning, 300 nutcases. They're startled. They're upset. They panic. I mean, they're not rationally sane to start with, so when their routine gets really upset, they just get totally disoriented. They don't know whether they're coming or going. And so in the process of the fire department and the staff trying to get these 300 people out of this facility in order to save their lives, they resisted. 50 of them died. And they literally had to take the other 250 and drag them out by the feet. They did not want to go. They resisted being evicted from a burning building with all of their might. Scores and scores of them were burnt and hurt badly, but 50 of them died. You say, well, that's insane. If the building's on fire, anybody in his right mind would want out. That's my whole point. They weren't sane. They were nuts. Amen. You can tell people who are nuts by the way they do things, the things they say, the things they resist, the things they like. Insane people don't think like sane people. Insane people don't act like sane people. Insane people don't react like sane people. Now, some insane people can be helped, and some can't. Insanity is in degrees. Some people are what we call criminally insane. Some people, Dahmer, if you sit down and talk to that guy, he was a pretty smart fella. He was well read on his subject. When you talk to him, you wouldn't have thought he was nuts until he strangled you, cut your throat, and cut you up in pieces and put you in the refrigerator. Okay? And a lot of them guys are like that. But now, he was criminally insane. And some people are not criminally insane. I come down Charlotte Avenue over in Rock Hill all the time, and there's a fellow must be in his 30s. I've been watching him for years and years. I go by there, and he's standing out in that front yard, and he's just flapping his hands and doing all kinds. And he'll be out there when it's cold, freezing cold. And he'll be out there with nothing on but a t-shirt. And he'll be sucking his thumb one day. Or one day I saw him, he had his hair and he was taking his head and he was doing himself like this. He's just nutty as a fruitcake, but he's pretty harmless. Amen. But he's nuts nonetheless. Just because insanity manifests itself in different ways doesn't mean that the individual's not insane. Now, I want to take this little story and use it as an illustration to show you who the nut jobs really are. I mean, the real certified nut jobs. How many of you, and I want to see a show of hands, I want you to put yourself on record. How many of you think that if you were in a building and it was on fire and filled with smoke, and you could see and smell the smoke and feel the heat and see the flame, and the fire department was there and they're spraying water and everybody's trying to get you out, and you want to stay in your bed, would you agree with me that that individual is nuts? Okay. Now, I'm going to hold you to that when this whole deal is over with, okay? You are not going to go back on that. People who are in danger of losing their lives and perishing and resist the rescuer are nuts. We agreed on that one point, right? Good. Some of y'all think, where in the world is he going? Now, let's take this story and just deal with it a step at a time. Number one, in the story about this insane asylum that burnt down, the newspaper article said, some of the inmates laughed at the mention of fire. When the fire department came in and the nurses and the doctors and the staff came in, they said, come on, you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up, the building's on fire, you're gonna burn up. They said the inmates just sat up and laughed at them. Well, we sleep here every night, this building doesn't burn. We've been here for years, this place is safe. And they laughed at all the people that tried to tell them the building was on fire and they were going to die. They just laughed at them. They made fun of it. They thought it was ridiculous. Well, you got to be joking. I've been sleeping in this bed, in this room, since I was 7 or 8. Or 20, whatever it was. And they know this place is safe. And we've never had to get up in the middle of the night before. And nobody's ever hollered fire before. You got to be nuts. And so the insane people declared in their own mind that the sane folks, the rescuers, were nut jobs and they wouldn't listen to them. You know what? All across America, you've got Christian preachers and evangelists and missionaries and soul winners running all around this world telling folks, there's a hell full of fire. There's a hell full of fire. And you're going to die and go there and burn forever and ever. And you know what they're doing? They're laughing at us. They think we're nuts. I don't see any hell. I don't smell any smoke. I don't see any fire. And they think you're a fruitcake. They think you're the nut job. You're running around telling about something that's alien to their personal experience. Therefore, because they've never seen it or heard it, they have not experienced it, it can't be true. Anything that's not in the realm of their personal experience, simplest. And so everything you try to tell them about this fire and this burning hell, to them, they're just laughing you off. Nobody's more insane than the media. They're laughing at it harder than anybody. Then, in the article, it said, some said they would not get out of their bed and go out into the night. They would not give up present comfort and pleasure even to save their lives. They said, get up! And get your clothes on and let's get out of here. The building is on fire and in a matter of minutes, this building will be consumed and you will perish. And you know what the insane folks said? Well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm in a very comfortable bed and I'm not going to give up this bed. I'm not going out into a cold night. I'm not going out into the dark. I'm not going out half dressed. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay right here in this nice warm bed and get me a night's sleep. They would not give up their present comfort even to save their lives. You know, we got nut jobs all across this country. I mean, they're just nutty as a fruit. They are whacked slam out. When you tell them that the house is on fire, there's a real hell and we are going to suffer in it and they need to get out of this burning house, they look at you and laugh and say, oh no, I like it here. I've always lived here and I like this house and I'm comfortable with this house and I enjoy this and I enjoy that and I'm not going to give this up and I'm not going to quit that and I'm not going to dress like that. This world will not give up its present comfort to inherit future blessings. They will sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate time after time after time after time again. You know what that is? That is nutty as a fruitcake. They're nuts. In the article it said, some hid under the bed to hide from the fire. They thought if they got under the bed, the fire wouldn't find them. So they just pretended that there was no fire. They thought that their denial and their indifference would protect them. They said, okay, there's a fire, okay, then we'll just get under the bed and we'll be okay. We'll just pretend that there is no fire. They thought if they denied it and they said, there is no fire, 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 there wouldn't be any fire. You know, you got a country slam full of nutcases today that says, there is no hell, there is no hell, there is no hell, there is no hell, there is no hell. And they think that because they deny it, that they won't believe in it. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in God. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not believing in God won't keep God from being there. What you believe about it does not impact God one way or the other. There is a God. And there is a hell. It's always seemed ironic to me that an individual will want to die and go to a better place and believes that there is a better place, but he can't believe there's a bad place. If there's a God and he's got a heaven, then there's a God that's got a hell. Amen. But believe in hell. I'm just not going to believe it. I've got my mind made up. And they're just pretending that there is no hell. Well, those people in the insane asylum pretended there was no fire, and they found them burned to death under their bed. The fire was real. And pretending and making excuses didn't change the reality of the fact that the building was on fire. And pretending there is no hell because you don't like the concept and you don't want nobody there won't make it go away. In the article it said, some of the people in the insane asylum blame the rescuers for the fire. They blame the rescuers and they say, accused them of trying to take their lives from them. It's like the rescuers started the fire. And all this good life that we've had here in the asylum, where everybody takes care of us and all of our needs are met. You know, like Socialist America. I didn't say that. I slipped out. But they feed us three meals a day. And they make sure we get our bath. And every 2 weeks they give us a new toothbrush. And we get to brush with Crest or Colgate. We have choices and options. And I mean, life is good here at the Nut House. I mean, the insane asylum, not a bad place to be. And we've got the good life here. Everything, all of our needs are met. They clothe us, they feed us, they give us medical attention. We watch TV. We can watch Pink Panther 5 days a week. I mean, can it get any better than that? Only if you have Blue Powerade. You know, life is good. And they come in here talking about fire, fire, fire. You know what? They said, y'all did that to take away our good life. They blamed the rescuers for the fire. You know what? A lot of times the real nut job, you get out here and talk to folks about eternal things and where they're going to spend eternity. And you know what they do? They make it our fault they're going to die and go to hell. Well, they live in this world and they're an American and we've got this and we've got that and we've got this standard of living and we eating and we dressing and we wearing, driving new cars and boy, everything is good. And all the problems in the world really are our fault. Christians caused all the problems. The world would be so much happier if we would just shut up and stop all this negative stuff and quit hollering, fire, fire, hell, 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 learn or burn. Smoking, non-smoking, saved or lost, up or down, in or out, hot or cold. We're the troublemaker. And all we're trying to do is get them on fire. Their house is burning down. Who's insane? In the article, it said that many of the inmates at the insane asylum fought against the rescuers. Kicking, biting, screaming, pulling hair. They literally had to drag them out of the burning building by the hair of the head. Or knock them down and drag them out by the feet. And the inmates did everything they could to hinder their rescuers. Guy's in a building that's burning down, but because the flame is not in his room, The guy that comes to get him out is his enemy. And so when he tries to get him out of there, this guy literally fights against him, bites him, kicks him, pulls his hair. Well, we must be in that same insane asylum today, because how often when somebody tries to preach the gospel and tell the truth about heaven and hell and get sinners saved, do the person we're talking to malign us, lie about us, tell stories about us, misrepresent us? Christianity's got the biggest bum rap. Every movie, if there's a preacher in it, he's one of two things, or maybe three. If he's a preacher, he's a womanizing, whoremongering reprobate. He uses that office to get all the women he can. Every preacher got to be immoral. Well, I don't believe that. I know some that aren't, and I know one especially that ain't. Been married to the same lady for 45 years. And I'll tell you what, though, now, if he's not a skirt chaser, then the preacher is a secret closet drunk. You got to drink. He gets in the pulpit on Sunday morning and puts his little white collar on and gets up there and represents the Almighty, and he has these high standards for the world to live by, right and wrong and morality. But as soon as the congregation dismisses, he's sitting behind the pulpit with the sacramental wine. I'm saying, watch any movie, read any story, all the preachers are nut jobs. They're immoral, they're sex perverts, they're homosexuals, they're pedophiles, they're drunks, they're card players, they're gamblers. There's something wrong with them. To who says that? The people that's in the building that's burning down? The ones that are as nutty as a fruitcake? They're insane. The ones who say there is no hell, there is no God, and there is no judgment. When you die, you're like a dog. You die like a dog, and that's the end of it. That crowd, they're the ones that are nuts. If you can have a creation without a creator, there might be some validity to their position. But since there is a creation, there must be a creator. Nobody that's sane could believe you can have a creation without something creating it. Except the scientists. But they all on drugs anyway. When the fire finally got so bad that it was obvious to the most insane in the room or in the building, in the compound, that it was going to burn down. After all was lost, some tried to escape through a locked door. They finally got the picture. It finally was so evident that not even the insane of the insane could deny there was a fire. They finally were forced to deal with reality. They were finally forced to say, oh yeah, they were right all along. The place is on fire. And when they finally realized that, as nutty as they were, they still wanted out. The insane want to live too. They're just nuts. So what did they do? When they finally figured out there was a fire, they tried to get out. They found a door. They wanted to get through the door and get out, but the door was locked. And there was no escape. And 50 of them burned to death standing at the locked door. They could not get themselves out. By the way, everybody that got out of that insane asylum that day got out with the help of another. Nobody got out on their own. So what does that mean? Well, it means when the door of death is shut, nobody opens the door. That door that they tried to open that was locked from the other side was locked, shut, and nobody could open it. And once that thing is closed and locked, there is no exit. There is no egress. I'm here to tell you that when you die and that is the end of your destiny. If you die saved, you go home to be with the Lord. If you die lost, you will die and go to hell. But once you're dead, that door is locked, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. My Bible said, if a tree fall to the north, or to the south, or to the east, whithersoever it falleth, there shall it lie. Salvation is determined while you're alive. And once you're dead, it is too late. Paul said, I'm in a strait between two, desiring to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the body is more needful for you. He said, when I lay this old body down, I'm going home with the Lord. And when you die, you either go on to be with Jesus or you're going to hell, one or the other. And it's determined while you're alive. You either escape alive or you die alive. You understand that? People say, well, when I get home, when I get to the other side, I'll talk to the Lord. No, you won't. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Once you die, you stand before God. Once you die, it's determined already. If you die in Christ, you go home to glory. If you die out of Christ, you die and go straight to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You're either saved or lost. And when it's time to meet the fire, when life is over, when it's time to die, you're not going to pass through a different door. When you come stand before that door of death, you perish. You either go home to be with Jesus or you die and go to hell. But that's determined while you're alive. You better choose which door very carefully. These people perished because they were insane. The proof of their insanity was that they would not believe the truth. Because of it, they perished. They didn't have to perish. There were rescuers present. There were doors open. There were exits from the fire. But for their own personal reasons, either present comfort, disbelief in sin, denial of the future, whatever it was, they had their own reason in their own little nutcase mind, and they would not leave because of it. And they burnt to death. They perished in the fire. They were insane. They were insane. And in this world, we have a lot of folks running around thinking they're sane. Because they got good minds, they make good livings. But their mind is closed to spiritual truth. They reject Jesus Christ. They reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject the reality of heaven. They reject the reality of hell. They deny that book. They deny the very longings of their own heart. They deny and resist the common testimony of mankind. And they will perish without God and without hope and spend eternity in a Christless grave. Their house is on fire and they will not believe it. Now, anybody who is sane, when they are presented the truth, receives the truth. To receive the truth and reject it is proof positive that you, and all of y'all gave common assent. Everybody in this room agreed. Right? When we started, didn't you? You did. You said, if you could see that the building was on fire, and that you were going to perish, and you chose to stay in the building, that guy was nuts, right? You said that. Okay. Now listen, I'm telling you that this world is going to burn. And the heavens being on fire, the elements melt with fervent heat. 2 Peter. And the earth that then was perished. Say, why? God's going to burn it up. There's a place called hell where your soul will reside in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That is the truth. Your house is on fire. Now, if you're sane, you run, you flee from that house. Got it? So how do you exit this burning house? Well, through the door. These people waited until it was too late and the door was locked and he couldn't get out. But Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will enter in, I'll sup with him and he with me. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come. You know what you need to quench fire? Water. You know what Jesus is? He's the water of life. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You know something? You don't have to perish. You don't have to go up in the burning house. You can receive Christ. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Say, how do I get out of the house? You walk through the door. That door is Jesus Christ. How do you get through the door? Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. How do you do that? By faith. You believe what He said, and you respond to it. Faith is not a passive thing. Faith is not an intellectual or mental assent to a creed or a doctrine. Faith is a verb. It shows action. You say, I believe. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that that's the handle. I believe that's what that is right there. And I believe if I push it, that door will open up. I believe that. That's all I need to do, right? Is the door open? I need to get outside. The building's on fire, and I believe that's a door, and I believe that's a door lock, and I believe if I push it, the door open. Got it? Okay, well, I can sit down and take my ease then. I believe all the right stuff. But I'm still in the building, and it's still on fire. I believe all the right stuff, but I'm going to perish. Why? Because I didn't do. I said, I believe if I push the door, it'll open. But I didn't push it to see. Faith is a verb. Faith shows action. Now I can escape. I can walk through the door and I am free. I think I smelled dinner. So let me ask you this morning. Are you sane or insane? Are you sane or insane? This world is going to perish. One of these days you're going to lay down, take your last breath. Your body will assume room temperature. They'll take you out back and put you to bed with a shovel. You're going to die. One of these days you're going to stand before God. Every man shall give an account of himself for the deed done to the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You're going to face God. How do you want to face Him? Saved or lost? In Christ or not in Christ? It's up to you. See? You got a choice. The people in the asylum, choice. They just made the wrong choice because they were crazy. If you can live, that's the same thing to do. To choose to die is nuts. You can be saved or you can be lost. Choice is yours. To choose to be lost and spend eternity in hell, that's nuts. You've got to be out of your mind. Any sane person would choose Jesus Christ and eternal life. Everybody agree with me? Good. Jordan, I want you to come play this morning. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed.